WCHL proudly presents our 2013 Chapel Hill Carborough Candidate Forums. With election season upon us, we're asking all the tough questions of the candidates for Chapel Hill Town Council, Carborough Board of Aldermen, and Chapel Hill Carborough City School Board. WCHL and chapelboro.com is your source for all the latest news about this year's municipal election. And now, WCHL presents our Mayoral Forum with all the candidates running for mayor in Hillsborough, Carborough, and Chapel Hill. Here's your moderator, Aaron Keck.
Welcome, candidates for mayor. We've got three candidates this year in Orange County for three mayoral positions, so not likely to be a lot of suspense in these races. But as Election Day is tomorrow, we want to get everyone in here to talk about the issues at stake, and there are a lot of them for the future of Orange County in the next 2 years and beyond. Joining us today from left to right across your radio dial, from Hillsborough, Mayor Tom Stevens, from Carborough, Alderman, and presumably soon to be Mayor Lydia Lavelle, and from Chapel Hill, Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt. Welcome to all three of you, and thanks for joining us today.
Hello, Aaron. Great to be here.
So let's get the important questions out of the way first. Tom Stevens, Mark Chilton is stepping down as mayor of Carborough this year, and I believe that officially leaves you with the title of Orange County mayor who wears awesome hats.
Thank you.
How do you feel about that?
It's an honor to step up into a kind of Mark's role there as the top hat wearer. But yes, a hat is very, very important. You wouldn't be a mayor without a good hat.
And speaking of stepping into Mark Chilton's role, Lydia Lavelle, you are running completely unopposed for mayor this year, and yet there are Lydia Lavelle for mayor yard signs. I've been wanting to ask you this for a month. Why is that?
Thanks for asking, Aaron. Well, one reason is to just kind of remind people in Carborough that while I am an alderman, I'm transitioning, if you will, to mm-hmm. the position of mayor. It was an easy fix. I just ordered a lot of stickers that said mayor and slapped them over alderman and put them up.
Oh, those are you. Okay.
Those
I was
are
wondering
mine.
About that.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. This is the third time I've used them.
It looked pretty seamless. Wow. I thought they were new.
No, it's fabulous.
And finally, Mark Kleinschmidt, and this is a facetious question, too, but I want it to lead to a serious discussion. The October surprise that we always hear about with elections happened this year, sort of, kind of, in Chapel Hill. We now have a last-minute report came out in Chapel Hill News that there's apparently an under-the-radar write-in campaign mm-hmm. for Tom Henkel, who's an advocate for sustainable energy, but more immediately importantly has been active in the Central West process. How concerned were you when you first heard that?
Well, I really like Tom. I mean, Tom's been a good friend of mine. We've been an ally for a long time. So I wish him luck. And, I look forward to seeing how he does tomorrow. I take this kind of stuff seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, see how it works.
And more seriously, that is just the latest outgrowth of a long and contentious conversation about Central West, which is part of a long and contentious conversation generally about how Orange County is going to handle growth. So I want to begin by talking about growth in general, which is something that affects all three towns, specifically in Orange County in general. First question, is growth inevitable in Orange County in the next 2 years and beyond? And to what extent are we expecting to, and to what extent will we regardless see growth in Orange County?
I'd say it's pretty well inevitable. We're expecting, I think, in Hillsborough it's going to be, might as well be inevitable. And I think growth is the big issue. The reason it's the big issue, though, is what's the impact on the quality of life? What's the impact on the lifestyle? What's an impact on the character of our communities? So I think that's why growth becomes such a really touchstone issue.
That's Tom Stevens. Lydia Lavelle, same question.
Yeah, I think certainly in Carborough, we will continue to experience modest growth as we have over the last several years. And our particular challenge, I think, is being such a small, geographically speaking, municipality, one of the smallest, if not the most dense town in North Carolina, approximately 6 square miles, where we'll accommodate people that, want to live in Carborough and how we'll grow and include them in our community.
I love the fact that you can easily walk from one end of Carborough to the other, but that does raise the issue when it comes
only
to growth
east
and people
west.
Moving in.
Yeah,
only east,
north,
west. South. North, south, not so much.
If I walk, it takes a couple hours.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Mark Kleinschmidt, same question in Chapel Hill.
Yeah, I think it's inevitable. I mean, we're going to have, we're going to have new people arriving in the Triangle and in the six figures over the next 10, 15 years, and Orange County is going to have to take some of them, whether we want to or not. Mm-hmm. And I think that can be a good thing for Chapel Hill in a lot of ways. Unlike Little Carborough, geographically Little Carborough, I don't believe that every square inch of Chapel Hill is uniformly perfect. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, the mayor said it, but I don't. I think there are opportunities for change within our 20 square miles. And catalyst for that change will be, I expect it to be, the growth that's going to come to us. And a good example is the Fordham, Ephesus Church area. Others are right along our right along the edges around 86 and 40, southern part of town. And, you know, I think there's a lot of change, and the growth will help us create it.
Is there a particular kind of growth that Orange County and Chapel Hill, Carrboro, Hillsborough should be seeking to attract? We're talking about different demographic groups, retirees, young professionals, families with kids. There's always that concern that that'll put a strain on the school system. Is there a particular kind of growth that the municipalities can seek to attract with policy?
Well, I know one of our questions during one of our many questionnaires asked kind of a take on this, and it did make me reflect a little bit on the senior population in a way that I hadn't thought about before. And sometimes our board members will talk about this, because we have had some folks come to us and suggest that perhaps we have some kind of senior center, senior living centers built in areas in Carrboro. So, but I don't know that we're doing anything to specifically direct certain populations. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's more of the smart kind of planning that puts us near our bus lines, or puts us in places where our infrastructure doesn't have to, you know, work on overload to accommodate those people.
Mm-hmm. Follow-ups to that?
Yeah, you know, somebody asked me, you know, what are we doing as a community to attract retirees?
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing, and my answer to that question, this has happened on Facebook, my answer to that question is we're creating a great town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what the things that we do that attract seniors who want to retire in Chapel Hill are the same things that are attracting the creative class. They're the same things that are attracting families with children. The same things that are attracting single young professionals. We're creating a great town. Mm-hmm. with amenities that are with a great transit system, a walkable community, and I think our focus needs to be on attracting people to our community who can live and work here, rather than and help cut down on the commute.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we're not attracting it, we need to begin designing our town to do that. I think as we reach, and you know, Mayor Chilton's always talks about peak oil and the cost of commuting, and I think we need to plan our cities in a way that is responsive to that inevitability, or at least to a change in our culture where people aren't going to want to travel an hour to commute any longer.
Mm-hmm.
I fully agree with that. And a different take. We're also finding in Hillsborough, but same thing with Chapel Hill and Carrboro, this is a great place to visit.
Mm-hmm.
And how that relates to the kind of folks we are attracting.
Lori Policelli is sitting at a radio, you know, cheering
saying, yes,
you right
yes,
now.
Yes, but I've always said the reason why Hillsborough is such a good place to do is the same reasons to visit are the same reasons for living there.
Mm-hmm.
It's very attractive. It's very authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And that authenticity comes from the diversity of the population there and from people who live there, work there. We have families. We have retirees. We have young folks. You know, just lots of different mm-hmm. job opportunities, different kinds of housing stock, and then lots of interesting things to do. And that's very attractive. And people come to visit us because they can participate in an authentic small town that has a unique character. And I think that's the same reason we love Carrboro and the same reason we love Chapel Hill.
I kind of wanted to get to this later, but since you brought up the authenticity of Hillsborough, I guess we can bring this up now, talking about development. And certainly there's been talk in Chapel Hill for years about big boxes and to what extent do we want to bring them in and what kind do we want to bring in. Similar conversations across Orange County. Hillsborough has a Walmart. Hillsborough has sort of a big box development there on the corner of 86 by 85. But it doesn't seem to have affected the small town character, that authenticity that you see in Hillsborough. Has there been difficulty there in terms of maintaining that small town character?
Well, I think there's always a challenge, you know, big boxes, even in Hillsborough, raised certainly a lot of discussion. We have in Hillsborough two interstates. And so a lot of it is just how do you fit development? How do you fit different kinds of development, both commercial and residential, into the fabric of your community?
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been perfectly okay with big boxes along the interstate where they're accessible. And
mm-hmm.
And that's in a different spot than where we would see residential development, which is we have a lot of other kinds of commercials. It's a distribution center.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small cluster in Hillsborough. And then some interesting mill properties that could be redeveloped, which is probably on our radar screen for the sooner rather than later.
That's mm-hmm. the Stevens New big idea that's coming soon.
You heard it here first. So, and all this gets back to, I think, the underlying question in this whole conversation about Central West, about big boxes, about all the different focus areas in Chapel Hill, in Carrboro, in Hillsborough, across Orange County. To what extent and how do we grow? Since growth is inevitable, we're going to have some degree of an influx of population. How do we grow without sacrificing our character as a town? The authenticity that Tom just talked about with Hillsborough, certainly the values that we hold dear in Chapel Hill and Carrboro and Hillsborough and across Orange County. To what extent do we manage that growth without losing the things about Chapel Hill, Carrboro and Hillsborough that bring people here, the things that bring visitors here, the things that bring retirees here?
I think in Carrboro, we're experiencing that a little bit with our East Main Street project. Mm-hmm. I know when it was approved 10 years ago, it was this grand plan that kind of was just a dream, right? Mm-hmm. And so now over the last couple of years with the resurgence of the markets, we have the hotel. And, the idea that we would have had a Hampton Inn in downtown Carrboro years ago, I know that it would have been hard to imagine. Mm-hmm. I think it's been nicely built into our landscape in a way that it's not intrusive. And then now the plans for the rest of the project, which are still evolving a little bit, but when we have an approved project, but there are some changes, slight changes being made to it. Those are really exciting, but I think they're also a little bit scary to some in town. Mm-hmm. The imagining these imposing buildings on our main street, and so mm-hmm. we're going to have to carefully consider, how those, if they're readjusted, how they might be approved or improved, or how they might fit into our landscape. But I think it's something that's a necessary and important and exciting evolution.
What's the time frame on that? Are those decisions going to be made in the next year, in the next 2 years?
Well, they're happening kind of along the way. Mm-hmm. Several of the buildings have some prospective developments in them that will be being decided, I think, over the next several months. For mm-hmm. example, I'm sure everyone's aware that we're the board has heavily endorsed this area called the Butler property to have the Southern Library branch there. And depending on when or if the Board of Commissioners were to approve that might help that part move along more quickly. Mm-hmm. The Arts Center came to us recently with a proposal to move just a little bit down Main Street. And if that ends up coming to fruition, which I understand they're going to take community input for the next several months, mm-hmm. then that'll change it up a little. But I'd say within the next year or so, we'll see some traction being made on these big projects that are part of the East Main Street project.
And Mark Kleinschmidt, mm-hmm. same question, encouraging growth and managing it without losing the character of the town.
I think Carbo did a great job in helping guide the 300, that East Main Street project, because in that they made sure to focus on creating special places. There's not a huge monolithic brick wall that faces the street. It's at a human scale. And wow, you can go up 5 stories and still feel like a human scale mm-hmm. when it's done correctly. There aren't any, I think we need to be careful not to be fearful of some absolute, like a declaration of some aesthetic standard and say, oh, that's absolutely out of the question or ridiculous. And I think particularly around things like how many stories something mm-hmm. should be. It's not helpful to say, well, things shouldn't be more than X number of stories. What is helpful is asking people what kind of experience they would like to have when they're walking down the street. What kind of diversity of retail experience would they like to have while they're going down the street? Do they want to have people living there so their eyes are on the street all the time to provide for a safe community? I think those things are true about the way we made place in Chapel Hill and Hillsborough and Carrboro over the last couple hundred years. And if we can continue to keep those ideas at the front of our mind, as the change occurs, we can ensure that it's still a wonderful place with great character. The character can't ever, well, I think it's kind of silly to assume that however one would define the character today is going to be the same mm-hmm. as it's going to be,
it's 10, never going to be
10
fixed,
years
right?
from now, because it's certainly different than when I got here 25 years ago, and it's mm-hmm. still the greatest town in America. And from what I heard, it was pretty darn good in 1970 as well, mm-hmm. but it certainly is a different town, or it feels different to the people who live here the soft element, the human element, is what really defines it. We just need to make sure people have an opportunity to get together and exploit each other, in nice and welcoming spaces.
So as people head to the polls tomorrow, and again, polls are open tomorrow from 6:30 to 7:30, 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., what should be the first thing on voters' minds when it comes to growth in Orange County and the three municipalities? What is the most important issue that's going to dominate the discussion in the next 2 years?
In Orange County generally?
In Orange County generally, or for each of you in Chapel Hill and Carrboro and Hillsborough.
Well, I think when it comes to growth, all these forums have been asking questions about real specific areas, particularly after fall. And I understand, particularly after the 2020 process and Chapel Hill finishing and moving into design Chapel Hill. But I think I would like people to think about our place in the region a little bit more. How we continue to differentiate ourselves from Durham and Wake, and yet how we are integrated with them as well. There are some things we do really well that we need to continue to emphasize. But there are some things that, one of the truths about the future is people are going to continue to commute no matter what we do, notwithstanding what I said earlier about it. We need to be getting along better with our neighbors and planning more effectively with our neighbors. We do a pretty good job, I think, with the county. There's a lot of room for growth in that. But we need to look more towards Durham. In Chapel Hill, we have a lot more in common with Hillsborough, Carrboro, and Durham, for example, than we have with areas of unincorporated Orange County north of Hillsborough. Okay, so when we talk about planning, why we need to be looking to our neighbors who are dealing with issues that are very similar to ours.
Mm-hmm. That was Mark Kleinschmidt talking about Chapel Hill. Same question to Lydia Lavelle for Carrboro.
Well, I'll just speak quickly to Carrboro, and then I want to hit on something Mark said.
Mm-hmm.
I do think in Carrboro this this revival of the project, some of the projects that were dormant or that have been slogging along in downtown Carrboro is going to be really exciting. The East Main Street project, the Butler project coming along, and then we have another project, Shelton Station, which should be moving along and getting on board soon. And frankly, if one, two, or all three of those, whenever they go, it'll massively affect just moving around downtown, and it'll be somewhat of a challenge, just like our Weaver Street repaving and just like the building the hotel was, to maneuver people around easily and try to not impact our local businesses and so forth. Just wanted to follow up on what Mark said, and I totally agree with the points that he was making. As Carrboro's representative on the Transportation Advisory Committee the last 6 years, and as one who lived in Durham for many years and who still works in Durham, they're a natural partner to all of us to get smart and to advocate for issues that affect us regionally. And of course, that venue is around transportation, but there are a lot of avenues where we can advocate together, and which I think is really important in this day and age in North Carolina dealing with our General Assembly.
Tom Stevens, same question.
Very similar response. We really need to up our thinking as a region. And certainly in Hillsborough, we're almost equidistant from Durham as we are Chapel Hill. And we see our workforce, UNC, Duke, almost equally split. It's really tough on game day.
Yeah.
I'll let you know, I'm a two-time Tar Heel, so we are staying.
It's easy
there.
For you on game
it's
day.
It's easy for me on game day, but not necessarily. Regional thinking. And again, it's the quality of our living spaces. It's the quality of our lifestyle. So it's really pulling a lot of things in balance. And we can't engineer it all, too. So it's having public policy that provides a framework and an infrastructure. But then a lot of it is the leadership in our communities and what we value and what we draw to us and what we continue to focus on. And, we're a friendly place. We're an interesting place. We've got to have a diverse culture. And all those things, those intangibles make a big difference. You know, in Hillsborough, a lot of it's attention to our heritage. It's attention to our natural heritage that we're seeing, and you certainly see that in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and out in the unincorporated parts as well. So how all these things work together, that's very important.
We're here with the three mayoral candidates in Orange County, Tom Stevens of Hillsborough, Lydia Lavelle in Carrboro, Mark Kleinschmidt in Chapel Hill. And a follow-up to that, something that's sort of been interesting me as I've been following this particular local election, to what extent are the policies of one town, to what extent do the policies of one town affect the options for another town, if that makes sense? I've always sort of... I've sort of been a little bit, not weirded out, but I've always thought that Carrboro citizens, Carrboro residents should have a say in Chapel Hill in who gets elected in Chapel Hill and vice versa, because it seems like the two towns are, you know, the elections are separate, but they're very similar communities. They're close to each other, and what happens in Chapel Hill affects Carrboro and Hillsboro. What happens in Hillsboro affects Chapel Hill and Carrboro. I think there's a question in there.
Well, I'm not going to sit here as a starting point and confess to being the 800-pound gorilla. So
maybe less of an issue for Hillsborough. Yeah. Right? I think we've got a little bit further out.
But for town boards, when Carrboro, I'll turn to Lydia Lavelle then, since the other two have deferred to you. To what extent, when Carrboro is determining what to do, how to grow the town, what developments to put where, to what extent is that affected by the decisions that are made in Hillsborough, in Chapel Hill, in Orange County, in Durham, in Pittsburgh, in Alamance?
Yeah, I think they're mostly positively affected, but I think that, you know, in some cases, I don't want to say it's negative, but it is a big consideration. What your next door neighbor or your commissioners are doing. Mm-hmm. And Tom's right. I mean, I don't mean to keep him out of the conversation here, but I think this mostly, to me, it more goes to the Chapel Hill Carrboro synergy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, where for years Carrboro was, and still to some extent is the little sister, if we look at when we're incorporated. We certainly have our own identity, you know, our own policies, our own values, yada, mm-hmm. yada. But not to say that a lot of those don't emulate Chapel Hills. Mm-hmm. And so there certainly are a lot of areas where it just makes sense to not reinvent the wheel, one or the other, or to take the lead on something and work together on it. At the same time, we have some areas where sometimes we'll banter back and forth and say, well, no, we wouldn't go down that road, or we would do it this way. So mm-hmm. I think there are positives and negatives, probably.
Yeah, I think Chapel has learned a lot from Carrboro, you know, and the leadership on many issues that Carrboro has offered to our larger community. And, you know, there are several things that we followed behind or we've tweaked in response to a Carrboro perspective or a different kind of approach. We do have to, though, and we try to keep in mind how much our decisions, though, affect our neighbors. Mm-hmm. I mean, and like the solid waste issue is a good one. I mean, we're all kind of keep talking about solid waste.
That's actually the next question on my list.
Yeah, because I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, really, most of it comes out of Chapel Hill, and everybody's either going to have to be on board or maybe have to pay more if they want to go another way. So everybody's kind of watching what the town's going to do. Hillsborough has some options, either come with Southern Orange or go off on their own. And, you know, if we come up with an approach that is attractive to the county, Hillsborough and Carrboro, that's great. But it's easier for us if it doesn't work for you guys, well then have a good time, because we, you know, we're a little bit bigger and we may even be able to go on our own. Mm-hmm. It's not how I'd prefer it, but mm-hmm. it's more possible for us than it would be for Carrboro or Hillsborough. So.
Lydia.
Yeah, I was just going to follow up and say the other thing is I think sometimes your average lay citizen who doesn't know the geekiness that I know, or maybe perhaps others know, you know, kind of lumps Carrboro and Chapel Hill as, you know, kind of two towns that are similar. But, you know, in fact, as we all know, I mean, first of all, Chapel Hill has this enormous relationship with the university that mm-hmm. we don't have. So another huge elephant, mm-hmm. right? And you know, Carrboro is one-third the size of Chapel Hill, right? 20,000, 60,000, something, right? And, you know, our employee size, you know, I think Chapel Hill has 3 to 4 times. Yeah, I've seen the figures, but really very, very different, even though we're right beside each other, very kind of different kind of drivers in the town also mm-hmm. in terms of population and budget and everything.
You are not the geekiest person in the room, by the way. We all know what books Mark Kleinschmidt is reading from the Orange Politics Forum. Tom Stevens, same question.
Well,
and getting to trash as well, because that's a big issue.
It's one thing sometimes folks aren't as aware of is how small Hillsborough is, which is like a, you know, about 6,000 people. and so just, you know, like, what do you guys want to do? You know, we'll come along. But I think sometimes people associate Hillsborough more with the rural parts of Orange County, and in some ways rightly so. Mm-hmm. I think there's less where we you know, we worry about our influences on each other, but I'd like to highlight we get a lot of cooperation from each other, and mm-hmm. that happens on our staff levels. It happens with our professional services. And let me tell you, just we have a leaf truck breaks down Chapel Hill or Carrboro, just says, oh, use our. I mean, it's just – and staff just mm-hmm. immediately to jump in with each other, same with our police departments. And find out with our managers and elected officials. So I think we have an enormous amount of cooperation at the just the day-to-day level with the town, and that's what stands out for me more so than necessarily the larger projects.
So follow-up question to that, and this is a question that comes up a lot. Given that there's already a lot of cooperation, is there an extent to which, especially since budget issues are going to be issues for the next 2 years and beyond, the town should look to consolidate services? More than they already are. Lydia.
I know several years ago when we hired our new fire chief, I think there was some, I mean, I'm not sure how detailed it was, but there was some study of what it would involve, for example, to talk to Chapel Hill about merger. And it there were enough kind of differences, like the types of trucks, the pay grades, the need to still cover areas, the same geographic areas. And, you know, we may have lost one or two positions that, in that situation, at least, it didn't seem there was no financial benefit to doing so. Mm-hmm. You know, I think in most departments, it's, you know, each of us have a certain way that we approach it. I know that was another reason for not exploring the fire department anymore. So I think to the extent that we're able to cooperate across departments, it seems to make the most sense for now.
Mm-hmm. Mark Kleinschmidt, same question.
I think the day is coming quickly in which, though, where the efficiencies for in merger, and we may have actually passed some of them in some areas. But there's identity issues wrapped up in providing your own services. You mm-hmm. know, the community identity issues, and those are important. But you know, I think that there's room for to explore either some kind of merger of operations or at least some merger of programs within the Park and Rec or Rec and Park, whichever you mm-hmm. side of the line you're on.
There's that difference there between go. Chapel Hill
that's
and
Carver. That's the big difference
right there.
Yeah. Right there. I think police and fire and solid waste. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of silly that, so a Chapel Hill solid waste truck goes up, let's say, Sunrise, one's downtown. It goes up north side, right, and into north side up Graham and takes a left and comes down, but stops picking up trash halfway down the street because, mm-hmm. oh, that's Carrboro. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of silly. Mm-hmm. We could map out much more efficient solid waste pickup routes if we were one community. Now and we know that because the county does it with recycling. You know, they just pick up all our recycling, and they don't care where Carrboro starts and where Chapel Hill ends. They map good routes.
Mm-hmm. All right, we are halfway through our forum. I have a list of 10 questions. We've gotten through 2 of them, so we've still got a lot to talk about. When we come back, you are listening to our special candidates forum the day before Election Day. We are here with the 3 mayoral candidates, Hillsborough's Tom Stevens, Carrboro's Lydia Lavelle, and Chapel Hill's Mark Kleinschmidt. When we come back, we'll talk housing, we'll talk economic development, we'll talk budget, transportation. All of that, I think we can get through in the next 30 minutes. I don't think we'll get through it all, but we'll try to get to all of that. When we come back, you're listening to our candidates forum here on WCHL. Election Day is tomorrow. Back in a minute.
We now return to WCHL's 2013 Mayoral Candidates Forum. Once again, here's your moderator, Aaron Keck.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. It is 3:37. We are here with the 3 mayoral candidates in Orange County, Tom Stevens of Hillsborough, Lydia Lavelle in Carrboro, and Mark Kleinschmidt of Chapel Hill. Election Day, of course, is tomorrow. Polls are open at 6:30 in the morning. They will close at 7:30 in the evening, and then we'll be here at WCHL for the evening to watch the returns come in. We'll have all the latest for you, and we'll be joined by a variety of special guests, so tune in to us tomorrow for that. Before we continue, we've been talking about about cooperation and collaboration between the towns. And I wanted to ask, we were talking about different iterations of that question during the break, and I wanted to ask the three candidates, what is your favorite place to visit in the other two towns? Lydia Lavelle, I'll start with you because it was your suggestion for the question.
Right. Well, you know, there are so many fun things to do in all of our towns, but I'll just highlight one that I've noticed over the last couple months. I told Tom about this earlier, and it's the old Okeechobee Speedway in Hillsboro. It is so interesting for folks who haven't been up there to go up there and walk around that and see this relic of what used to be such a vibrant, active, you know, every weekend, thousands of people there. And now it's like a Mayan ruin being uncovered. And it's just so cool, though. I mean, it's a place you can go and walk and kind of see what used to be there, and a really nice partnership, I think, with volunteers who have worked to kind of clean it up.
260 acres from private land, but it's all going to be part of the larger Mounts of Sea Trail, be right connected to Riverwalk. So we've got this incredible greenway system that'll come right through town, all along the river, and it's open 365 days a year, an extra day in leap year.
No, it's fabulous. And a great find.
Yeah. So. And Lydia in Chapel Hill?
Ooh. You don't get over there very much.
So far away.
To stay away from that. No, I'm just kidding. Let me come back to that.
Okay. All right. Well, Mark Kleinschmidt, Carborough and Hillsboro.
In Hillsboro, I love going to the Wooden Nickel. It's just kind of a cop-out thing to say, I guess, because everybody loves to go there. It's really hard to get in if I do get up to Hillsboro. You can see everybody and usually the mayor if you hang around there long enough. And so I really enjoy that. Carborough, I like going to the Century Center and making fun of their mayor.
That's always
which
nice.
I did last week.
Yes.
I had a good time with that. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that in the future. I really love, you know, as the mayor, current mayor of Carborough mentioned to me, you know, one of Chapel Hill's best music venues happens to be in Carborough, the Cradle, also Chapel Hill. I don't know. But they often are confused.
Yeah.
And I love going there. And Weaver Street Lawn. I mean, everybody loves Carborough.
Yeah. So Hillsboro, Tom Stevens, same question for you.
Oh, it's sometimes very hard to slip out of Hillsboro. Especially I live walking distance, and there's like 9 sit-down restaurants.
Yeah.
You know, two blocks away. And plus, you know, you get on the trails and whatever. But I think some, you know, very cool restaurants and just places to go. Just come out for 9 and 10 Lantern. Love to come to the Lantern in Chapel Hill. Peccadillo in Carborough is kind of my, you know, little getaway bar. And would have to mention the Carborough Farmers Market. We have good farmers markets in Hillsboro and lots of local stuff. But, you know, Carborough Farmers Market is just the king.
I love the fact that Hillsboro can sustain 2 farmers markets. That's really cool.
It is cool.
Yeah. So speaking of cool things in each of the towns, businesses, let's talk economic development. In terms of attracting business and retail, first of all, how is Orange County doing generally, and how are the three individual towns doing right now? And as we look ahead to the next 2 years and beyond, what's the most pressing need when it comes to attracting more? What should the towns be doing first and foremost in the next 2 years?
Creating places for it to go. I mean, we sit around and we talk about the need for a more diverse more diverse tax base, yet we're really kind of just sitting around not creating it. I mean, there's been very little new stock added, we had the recession, so I guess that's possibly an excuse. I mean, Tom's been doing it and Hillsborough's been doing it, but just to be honest, in Chapel Hill, we haven't been doing it. And we need to start taking that seriously, which is, been something I've been working on for years. And we're about to, in Chapel Hill, approve a project, a redevelopment, a set of regulations for the redevelopment of the Fordham Ephesus Church Road area that I think will be transformative as far as that commercial tax base. Those are real things that need to be happening and should have been happening a long time ago. And it frustrates me when, you know, we have folks who have been working on these issues for as long as they have, or ostensibly have been sitting around participating in these conversations, and then, you know, ask questions that they are neither know the answers to, have been told the answers to in the past, or, you know, just whatever, just to slow things down. So we just got to get things moving.
Lydia Lavelle?
Yeah, and quickly before I answer that, I want to say one of my favorite places to visit in Chapel Hill, and it was, there were so many I had trouble narrowing them down.
Is that what it was?
Right. But one of my finds there that I love is Merritt's Pasture. I think that is a cool area in the middle of, I don't know, it's another little place you just go, a little oasis, and walk around, and no one even knows, you don't see anyone, and it's just pleasant.
One of the newest parts of Chapel Hill. I think we just annexed it recently. But
It was just brilliant. I don't know. I know some of the story about how it was purchased or acquired, but it was really some foresight, I think, to have that. Okay, so I agree with a lot of exactly what Mark is saying. We're excited about the development that's coming to Carrboro that will give us some flexible office space and or retail space and or restaurant space for new businesses to come in. Starting with our granddaddy, our hotel that opened, but as part of that project, we're going to have commercial space. As part of Shelton Station, we're going to have more commercial space. This art center situation should have some more space. The PTA thrift shop is getting ready to reopen, and there's some redevelopment of some of those properties that will enable us to have some more development. And there are some other proposals kind of in the hopper, whether or not they come to fruition. We have a person interested in redeveloping the old Rogers Trium area, which is at the foot of North Greensboro Street, that South Greensboro, I guess, that if something ends up happening there, we'll take some just really kind of terrible looking and unattractive and not making any kind of money for the town, might turn around and end up with some more space there. So a lot of it is just getting out of the financial downturn we've been in and seeing some of these projects that have been in the works come to fruition.
Tom Stevens, same question.
Yeah, I think Hillsboro has been the outlier in many ways. It's if the balance between commercial and residential is 60-40, 60% residential, 40% commercial, Hillsboro has been like that for decades. And so we've been dedicated to continuing that as we go forth with future developments. So I think we've got a very good balance, and we want to continue. We also have a pretty good diversity. We're glad about UNC Hospital coming in. Now, it's not commercial space, but that's a lot of professional. and we're seeing continued, commercial interest.
That's got to be a boost to commercial as well, all those people coming in.
Absolutely. And so this will circle back, actually, to some of the things that we could be doing together. I've seen this major shift in Orange County. And the general attitudes of the towns and commissioners about serious about economic development. There's attitudes about it now that the, we're catching up, and there's some ways we never will catch up. That train left 20 years ago, but there's a lot of things that we can do now, and it takes decades for some of these things to get really in gear and see it come to fruition. But that can be happening. One of the things now that's really could be important for all of us is. Goes back to transportation and upgrades of the interstates, that the interstates is bottlenecked at through 40, going through Orange County, both on I-40 and I-85, and it's the intersections. We have a lot more commercial development that would already be taking place in Hillsboro, which would benefit all of Orange County, except the bridges need repair, and the bridges aren't going to get repaired until the roads get widened. And I think our transportation folks are now, that's on their radar screen, but that's not been a priority up until recently. So that's one thing that, looking at that whole corridor, can be very important for us all.
I want to get back to transportation in just a second, and that kind of brings us back full circle to the growth question, talking about infrastructure, transportation, and housing. But before we get there, one more question on development. In the next 2 years for all three of you, is there a particular kind of economic development or a particular subset of economic development? You can talk about light rail, retaining local businesses, agriculture, big boxes, any sort of thing within economic development that you really want to see your town focusing on in the next 2 years and really making happen between now and 2015.
I tell you,
Tom Stevens.
I will start out. I think we've got with a lot of medical folks coming in the community college, so we're seeing a lot of professional services move in Hillsboro. Mm-hmm. We're seeing some more retail. We're seeing like the West End. Where the depot and Hillsboro Barbecue. So we're seeing outlying sort of shopping centers become real centers of commercial activity. We are chomping at the bit for a hotel. And so we're very, very, and just looking at the success that Carrboro has had with getting the Hampton Inn there, and thought, I'd love to see something like that happen in Hillsboro. That's a piece that's missing.
Lydia Lavelle.
Something I would like to see, and I've mentioned this to a few folks. I mentioned it the other night when we were talking about our art center and our expansion of our arts district, kind of getting the affiliation of of an arts
sort of
district.
Officially making one happen. Yeah.
Right, right. And that is, I have a colleague who has a booth at what's called Golden Belt over in Durham. Mm-hmm. Don't know if you folks are familiar with it.
Oh, yeah.
What a fabulous project that is there, you know, public, private, but lots and lots of artist space where folks can work on their art and then, you know, show it and have events, and there's a great room, and there's shared space, and, you know, part of what I'd like to see somewhere in Carver is some kind of a similar type space. Not sure where that would be or how it would happen, but I think it's a natural fit for our community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mark Lanchmitt.
Well, I want to continue the work that we're doing with the university to do around helping nurture entrepreneurs in our community. You know, that's a lot of hard work that takes a long time, and you get a few hits, and it can be amazing. And so, you know, I think we should continue to be engaged in that, but the biggest thing, hopefully, is that I'm looking for, hopefully, is going to happen in very short order before this end of this council year, which is the approval of the, and I keep coming back to the Fordham and Ephesus Church intersection.
Mm-hmm.
We have worked for, since 2006, really, mm-hmm. this has been a conversation. So we are in our seventh year. We'll be in our eighth when we approve this, of deciding what we want that place to look like, writing a code that reflects it, and then getting out of the way. And, you know, I'm confident we have folks who own some of that property who have their shovels in their hand ready to go. If we can just get moving on this. Last week, we approved some new financing tools that will help us with that project. And some of the council members asked, well, they want to know what they're going to lose if we use a form-based code. And I said, well, here's some things. You can put whatever you want on that list, fine. But make sure the list of what we're going to lose when we finally get this district done correctly, we're going to lose a vacant lot on Elliott Road that used to be a movie theater. Mm-hmm. We're going to lose a Volvo dealership that was abandoned with weeds growing up through the concrete. We're going to lose, you know, that kind of stuff. We're going to lose the inability to get into Rams Plaza because mm-hmm. we're going to have a whole new way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
we're going to lose the congestion at coming out of Eastgate, going over to Ephesus Church Road. And those are things I think we're all happy to lose.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of congestion, that brings us to sort of the final big overarching issue that I wanted to talk about, which was infrastructure, transportation, and housing. Because with growth, which we agreed at the very beginning of all of this, is inevitable, that's going to put increasing strain on transportation and housing, which are already, especially in certain parts of Orange County, already a little bit strained. So what can the towns do? What should the towns be doing in the next 2 years to deal with transportation and housing? Let's start with housing, because I think affordable housing is one of the primary issues on the table for all of the municipalities and the county in general. What, if anything, do the towns need to do in the next 2 years to promote affordable housing, and what type of affordable housing should we be looking for first?
Well, I'll speak briefly, and I think Mark will elaborate on something else that may involve all of us. But I'm a member of our town, Carborough's Affordable Task Force, and we are studying a series of recommendations that came out of several planning board workshops we had last year,
mm-hmm.
and really looking at intently at some very specific kind of long-term decisions we might want to make, or changes we might want to make to our land use ordinance, or policies we might want to adopt and strive for, or partnerships with others. And we're currently vetting those and going to be coming back to our board. We've come back with a few ideas that have been worked into our code, but we're going to be coming back with some more specific ideas and recommendations. And I think it's all part of a grander conversation I know that's been going on throughout the county. I know that there's a group of affordable housing providers who have started to meet on a regular basis and talk about ways to kind of work more cooperatively or regionally on some of these solutions. I think this is a good example of an area where we can work cross-jurisdictionally on some of the solutions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. Hillsborough is a very small place, but mostly keeping a variety of housing stock and a lot of the less sort of formal things that we're doing, but also trying to cooperate a lot with affordable housing providers. Habitat is a great project that's in Hillsborough. It's transformed a couple of neighborhoods and provided a lot of things. We had a couple good projects for seniors, the Eno Haven project, and we have some others coming along the way. But a lot of it, I think, looking at a larger, more countywide, more region-wide, what's happening with affordable housing is very important. We're a small player in that, but we like to sit at the table and see what we can do.
And Mark Lunchman.
Yeah, well, it seems like the affordable housing question is always moving, and, you know, and it moves with the economy. Prior to the Great Recession, we were all talking about how do we get people of moderate income into home ownership. And I think the town of Chapel Hill has done a great job of providing a response to that question. You know, and there isn't a development built in this town in the last 13, 14 years that 15% of it isn't affordable. Mm-hmm. And that means affordable to the 80% income earner to purchase. Mm-hmm. And that's extraordinary. And we've made an ordinance that requires that now, whether you're asking for a new zone or not. Of course, then the economy changes. Nobody's building units for sale anymore. And everybody's putting up, you know, for rent rental projects. State law kind of ties our hands on what we can do about affordability there. But last spring, one of the things I'm proud of doing this just this calendar year is asking Donna Bell and Sally Green to gather some of our affordable housing agencies and get them together around a table, some private developers and others, and talking about how do we get affordable rentals. Mm-hmm. One of the answers is we look at our assets. What does the town own? What can we leverage to get affordable rentals in place? Because if we're present at the table with a piece of our property or some of our resources, and we get a say, we can have a say in what's going to happen, and we can choose who we're going to deal with. And that's what's led to the conversation with our property on Legion Road. We're hopeful that we're going to get this DHIC project out, 200 plus units, 200, maybe as many as 260 units mm-hmm. of affordable rental property right there. You know, in that district I keep talking about, you know, I'm really obsessed with this.
Yeah,
district,
yeah.
Road.
It's exciting.
There's a meeting tonight, I think.
There is
6:30, right?
Yeah. Yeah, 6:30 tonight. But it's important that we also expand our conversation around affordable housing to that larger affordable living question. And those who are concerned about affordable housing and have been nationally talk about more than just the price of the home. Mm-hmm. Or just about what the cost of the rent is. It's not enough to say the rent's too darn high. It's also got to be I'm too far away from where I need to go. Mm-hmm. That's also part of the affordability question. And again, it's already difficult. You know, when I moved from working in downtown Durham to working in downtown Chapel Hill, and now my commute is all of, I don't know, 2 minutes, mm-hmm. I have, it's just remarkable how fewer times a month I have to put gas in my car. It has saved me so much money. I was not prepared for the big change that was going to make in my life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, while folks may say, yeah, I'm not going to live in Chapel Hill because it's too expensive, so I'm going to go live 50 miles away in Alamance County where I can get a house that's cheaper. Well,
and then you're paying that much for
everything,
gas.
Yeah, is then put into transportation to mm-hmm. get you there. So we need to keep talking about vehicle miles traveled as well as how much the rent costs. Mm-hmm. How much the mortgage is. When we talk about how livable affordable homes are, that's got to be part of the question.
Is there anything that can be done in transportation policy? We've only got a few minutes left. Is there anything that can be done in transportation policy to make it more feasible for people to live and work in Orange County? Lydia.
I know we're trying to analyze some of our parking solutions downtown and wondering, and not to say it'll happen, but we want to explore the idea of unbundling parking maybe from some of our developments that are being built so that exactly what Mark is saying, it's amazing how much of a person's average income goes toward transportation costs. Mm-hmm. And to the extent that you don't want to have to pay for a parking space and be able to still live downtown and be able to get around, it can certainly make it more affordable for people. Mm-hmm. We also encourage and incentivize our local businesses, you know, with bicycle parking and covered parking and, mm-hmm. and all those kinds of things to try to make it easier for their employees to get to work and back.
So this was the contentious question during the Carrboro Alderman Candidates Forum. Would you support charging for parking in downtown Carrboro? I got to get you on the record on this.
Yeah, not at this time.
Okay. All right. Tom Stevens, would you support paying for parking in downtown Carrboro?
Perhaps. You know, right. I barely wanted to get to Peccadillo. Transportation is so important in Hillsborough. We've got this really small town character, but it's interesting. We're going to this kind of, I want to say, big town circulator routes, bus connections connecting to Chapel Hill, Carrboro, as well as Duke and Mebane and, mm-hmm. and places. And that's going to be critically important, I think, paradoxically, to keep that small town character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So final questions. And we've only had an hour here. We haven't been able to get to everything. Obviously, there's a lot to talk about and a lot still more to talk about. But since Election Day is tomorrow, polls open at 6:30 in the morning. They close at 7:30. There's races for aldermen in Carrboro, Board of Commissioners in Hillsborough, Chapel Hill Town Council, School Board. Of course, the three of you are running and you'll be on the ballots as well. Two questions. First of all, do any of you want to endorse any candidates officially here on the air with the day to go before the election? In your town or in another town?
Speaking for Hillsborough, we have three very good candidates. I'm not endorsing any particular candidate, but I'm really encouraging people to look at the candidates and choose, because they all bring different strengths. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have a different board. I think it's going to be a good board, but it's going to be different. So choose wisely, Hillsborough.
Lydia or Mark?
I echo Tom's comments to just study it and study the candidates and be informed. Because mm-hmm. I think to say I'm not going to vote because I don't know who's running, there's enough resources out there that you can figure out who's running and learn about them.
Mm-hmm. And Mark?
I think in Chapel Hill, with two incumbents running and two open seats, if you assume that the incumbents would take their seats, I don't know. I'm not going to presume that necessarily, but many people
do. It usually happens.
There's some room here to really add some interesting voices, mm-hmm. I think, to the council dais. And we've been lucky to have a really good crop of candidates in the running for council, lots of experience. And there's going to be somebody or several folks who are running for council who are extremely qualified, who may have taken a seat in a prior election, who aren't going to make it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And, I guess that's good for Chapel Hill because it means we have some great options. But it's going to be really disappointing to some really well-qualified people.
Mm-hmm. And then sort of the follow-up question for that, and we'll end with this. Similar question, though. As people go to the polls tomorrow, if they haven't already gone in for early voting, what should they be looking for in a candidate? We're looking at a variety of issues in the next 2 years and beyond. We're looking at housing. We're looking at transportation, economic development and growth, obviously budget issues, cooperation between the towns, and a whole lot more. Haven't gotten a chance to talk about in the last hour. When people go into the polls tomorrow, what are the qualifications that they should be looking for in a candidate?
I think Mark Tom Munchin. And Lydia will agree with me. At least for mayor, they should look for the name that's printed on the ballot.
Absolutely. is a candidate going to look after the entire community and not just represent one specific constituency, but they're really mm-hmm. going to be thoughtful and have some well-formed opinions, but also have an open mind?
And Lydia Lavelle gets the last word.
Yeah, I think during this campaign season, if voters will kind of look at the internet, where a lot of the forums are found and stored in the questionnaires, they can really learn a lot about where these all of the candidates stand on a variety of positions and learn a little more about them. And I think that's one important way also to research.
All right. 4:00. You have been listening to a great forum, and thank you all so much for being here. Hillsborough's Tom Stevens, Carrboro's Lydia Lavelle, and Chapel Hill's Mark Kleinschmidt. Thank you so much for joining us for our Election Day Eve Mayoral Candidates Forum. Don't forget, Election Day is tomorrow. Polls open in Orange County at 6:30 in the morning. They close at 7:30 in the evening. And tune in to WCHL tomorrow night, beginning at 7:00, immediately following the evening news for a special election night coverage. Always one of our favorite nights of the year. We'll be joined by a bunch of different candidates. We'll be joined by a variety of different commentators. Mark Chilton will be here. Tom Jensen will be here. D.G. Martin will be here. I'll be here with Elizabeth Friend and Ron Stutz breaking down all the results when they come in. You have been listening to our Mayoral Candidates Forum. Election Day is tomorrow.